So we are going to start the Dhamma discussion, English Dhamma discussion. So I think when I was leaving, it's Tuvataka Sutta we were discussing. Still, you are continuing that, right? Right. What's if you have the Pali verse?
I don't have the Pali verse here.
Okay. What is the number like? What I mean is, if you can count the starting from number 1, 2, 3, 4. Kaya vikkena titthaya upavadam bikuna kariya kohinchi gamecha nabi sanjaya labha kamya janam na lapayya. So if you can read the meaning, then I can connect it.
A bhikkhu should not engage in buying and selling.
Right, correct. That's the one. Good.
He should not do anything that incurs criticism.
Mm-hmm.
He should not form intimacy in the village.
Right.
He should not address people from a desire for gain.
Right. Mm. Okay, so basically, did you all finish this? So this is the one we are going to do.
We finished the previous one last time.
Fine, fine.
Let's see, and that was, we did that on April 23rd.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. I'm not sure, that might have been last week.
Okay. So, I'll read the Pali verse, that's also interesting, and, you know. Kaya vikkaye na titteya, upavadam bhikkhu na kareya kohinchi, gamecha nabhi sajjaya, labha kamya janang na lapayaya. Kayavikkaya. Kayavikkaya is one precept for Upasampada monks. You know, typically even in the 10 precepts, what is the 10th one? Not to handle money. So not to handle money does not only mean that we are using, you know, typical money and then doing any kind of a transaction. Say we can assume that we receive some money. And we can give that money to some person and we can get what we want. We can simply buy that, isn't it? So that is possible. So that is a typical monetary transaction. But apart from that, so kaya vikkaya here, assume that I have, I have a good phone now. I have this phone. It's a really expensive one. So rather than I want to use this phone, assume that I want something else. So what can I do? I can give this to another person and I can ask, please give me that in terms of kind of an exchange. It's not money involved, but now this has kind of a monetary value now. So I am not using money, but I can use this as a way of exchanging something else from an external person. Trade, exactly. Kind of a trade. Same concept, but the typical money, conventional money is not involved, but some other way we are doing. Exactly. So I have something valuable, so but I don't need it like now, but I have some desire for something else. So I am selling this and getting that. So that is also not allowed. So within the group, it is allowed, by the way. So that's also interesting that we need to know. Now say we have another monk, another nun, another, like that, Samaneri. So within that group, we can do it. Now say I have something valuable and I feel that you have something else that you don't need it, and you also telling that I don't need it, then I am giving this and you can give it to me. That's allowed. No problem. Within the group, that's allowed, but not within the outside. So the kaya vikkaya can come to that where not even jata rupa. So jata rupa rajata patigahana is what we typically say, where that conventional monetary transaction I am not doing. I am not using money. True. But at the same time, here Buddha highlight kaya vikkhayena titthaya. Even the exchange of goods, exchange of whatever another valuables, I am not doing it. Because monks, even though they are not using money, they can do this thing. So even that Buddha has avoided, prevented. So he is very much here promoting. So don't do that. Kaya vikkhena titthaya. Upavadam bhikkhu na karaye kohinchi. And he is not blaming others or say looking down others, condemning others, looking down some other term, probably Bhikkhu Bodhi may have a better term. Let me just do this thing, then you can read in detail. Gamecha nabhi sajjaya. That means too much involvement in within the village. Say I have a kind of a relationship with a woman. While I am going on Pindapatha, I may hang around in that particular place for a long time, you know, having a little chatting and, you know, exchanging this thing and that thing. So that is not allowed. So you can't have any kind of such kind of relationships within the village. So yeah, if you are going on village Pindapatha, keep it onto that. So you are going from one house to the other house and don't have any external relationships or excess relationship, unnecessary relationship. You have gone for Pindapatha to alms round, collect some alms, that's all. So you don't even allow to look at the face when the person is offering dana. And if they are even asking you to come at home and I am going to offer meat, something, please come and sit and I am going to offer this and I am doing that. And, we had a special occasion. those things are possible. So if you are we giving any kind of favorism in such situation? So those things are the things that we need to be careful. On certain times, so when we approach a certain particular house, so there may be the people who are known to us, who are dear to us, and whom that we like really, and we have a little bit of intimacy with them. So then probably we are giving some special attention to them, we are giving some favorism to them, we are taking more food from them. Possible, right? So these are typically, it is operating within me. Say when I have a good relationship with someone, then I am having a long chat with him. If an unknown person comes, maybe within a short time, I'm busy. But for a known person, but for my friend, but for my person whom I like, I have time. So that is the way we operate, no? So, but how are we going to have kind of an equanimous attitude to everyone? Either he is a known person or unknown person, if I am just looking at him the same way, in a similar way, neither. Like, I mean, say, if you have some action to do, some help needed, I am just doing it, that's all. There are no further relationships. So that's what here highlighted. Gamecha nabhi sajjaya. So you are not having any kind of unnecessary intimate relationships, too much involvement, kind of thing with the villagers. Nowadays what happened is, now say that in certain other suttas Buddha mentioned, so when villagers are happy, monk can go and become happy. When villagers are unhappy, monk can go and become unhappy. When they are crying, monk also crying. When they are laughing, monk also laughing. Is it the correct way? That's not the correct way. That's the point. Okay, when villagers are happy, we are going there and, you know, we are also having a partying and all these things. So that is not allowed. When they are worried and crying, we are also going and worrying and crying and cursing the other party. So that is also not the thing accepted. We have to be in the middle. Either they are in an elated state or either they are in a sorrowful state. We as monk have to be in the middle. So it is not that we are promoting elated, excited happiness, or we are not promoting the other side, the depressive, suffering, sorrowful state. So we have to maintain kind of a peacefulness irrespective of the happiness or the sorrow within the village. That's the Buddha's aim. So that is where, now that is only the way that we can give a, you know, kind of a sermon to the people. Assume that they are crying. Say village has gone through a real calamity. Say it was washed out, say thieves attacked the village, or flooding has happened, several houses being burnt. So now the monk, next day you are going to the village for Pindapatha. Now you observe many people are there, villages, I mean the householders are crying and they are telling you, Bante, look at this, Bante, everything burnt, Bante. So are you also going to cry? Then no use, no. I mean, you are there to, you know, console them. Yeah, this is the way. I mean, you need to understand this. This is the suffering. I mean, we all are going through. We don't know whether it's going to happen to my kuti when I'm going back. So that's the situation. So likewise, you have to give a kind of a some good sermon to them so that they'll be, you know, uplifted, come back to their normal state rather than drowned in the kind of a sorrowful state. So we have to be in the that level. And similarly, now say the opposite. Say there's a kind of a wedding or something and all people are there, kind of a ceremony. They are dancing and shouting, you know, drinking, all things are there. Now tomorrow you are going on village Pindapath. So they are asking, Bante, are you going to have a beer?
People from the village, they are thinking if we should give this to Sariputta Thero and the Devadatta Thero, and all the villagers are really delighted to give it to Devadatta, which means that he was always, with them, lulling their babies and all these things. So exactly. This sermon reminded me that story.
Exactly. So that is why it is called, there's a separate actually, now for these kind of states, Buddha even has established precepts. There's a Sanghadi says a precept for this called Kuladusana Sikkhapada. Kuladusana. So that means, say, now, it is not as monks, it is not that we are making kind of a relationship with the villagers by giving things, you know, giving some material things. It is not, we are not supposed to do it in a way. So assume that we are giving this and that and we are trying to attract them. We are trying to be a good monk by materially supporting them. Say offering them money, offering them whatever the requisites, and say, as he mentioned, lulling their children and fondling and tapping them and, you know, always going to their house and all these things are unnecessary things.
But,
and one moment. So and again, so suppose the temple has some say harvest, a good harvest. So I am sharing this with the people. Say we have money, so we are giving money to people. So this is another way of attracting people, no? That is called Kuladusana. Mm-hmm. But that is what happening nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite is what Buddha mentioned. You are supposed to give only the Dhamma. You can teach. You are teaching not your thing, but you are teaching the Buddha's thing. The Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma. That is what we have to give. So, so likewise, so how are we maintaining a kind of balance? I mean, it doesn't mean that if they are coming and asking something, I mean, it's not, okay, I can only give Dhamma, so don't touch that. So it's not like that. I mean, can share, it's a kind of a proper way. But with an ulterior motive to get an attraction, you know, get a kind of a, become famous by giving something and getting their sort of consent by giving something, so that is not appropriate. So that is what we need to understand. So how we are associating villagers. So how we are associating the other fellows in the close by. So it's not an easy task. I mean, while at the monastery, we are in a way very safe. So everything is taken here. I mean, we don't know whom has offered the dana. And we are not maintaining any kind of relationship with this outside. And we are very safe. But suppose now you are running a place and you need a lot of help from the other people. And how are we going to get their help? So are we offering whatever we have, material things, whatever we have to them, and then asking them to help? Or are we asking them to help out of their generosity or out of their faith? So that is a different story, isn't it? And very difficult. I mean, these are very practical, difficult things. So here, Buddha highlights, Game cha nabi sajjaya. You want to tell something? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bante. What I wanted to say was, there was a monk who was like giving away heavy property of the Sangha to a lay person, right? To like win, is that what something you're referring to? Where there was like a monk, he was like giving heavy property of the Sangha away to a lay person to like win favor with them.
yeah.
or something like that. Mm. So is that's like is that that's not the Sangha Disesa offense, is it?
No, that's the thing. Sangha Disesa comes where, you know, now they assume now there's another monk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who don't want to maintain too much close relationship with them. So he simply go to this Pindapatha and he just get some food and then he mind his own business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to whom that the villagers will start like?
Mm-hmm.
To the previous one. So previous one, so they are always coming and they are there for them and always fondling their children and coming to home. If they are happy, they are monk also happy. If they are unhappy, monk also unhappy. So it's a very kind of he has become part of the family, no? Monk has become part of the family. They are member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now they would like that particular monk than the other monk who is simply coming and collecting some wood and go away. There is no relationship, no? So the people may like that person. Sorry, like the monk who are having a close relationship with that family. So that is what Buddha mentioned. This is now it's a, you have polluted the family.
Mm.
Pollute. I mean, now their way of thinking is completely different. No.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they are not really appreciating the proper monkhood,
mm-hmm.
the monk's qualities, samana qualities. Rather, it has now. Monk representing a different person now, very much like that society. Yeah, so he's a kind of a part of that society, part of that village, that of part of that family, another family member like.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is not what is expected from the monkhood. So yeah. monk has to take care of his own spiritual path. No, so while he is taking care of his own spiritual path, if someone is coming when they go through a huge suffering, then monks should be able to, you know, preach something and uplift them,
mm-hmm.
rather than going and attaching and, you know, maintain unnecessary relationship with them. So it's now things have, you know, changed a lot. Now actually what happened is, so to the level that the people have polluted, so they expect that from the monk now. If another monk come and, you know, mind their business, so they will ask, go away, we don't want you to stay in our temple.
I had to, like, when I was in Colombo, like, I certainly, like out with my family, I had to certainly, like, make sure to, like, not, like, get caught up in, like, the talk, like, you know, that you know, the people I was, some of the people I was around, you know, that they were having, you know, I just had to remember, like,
mm.
you know, I just, like, getting, you know, like, my, you know, like, you know, just, like, some of the talk that they had, you know, it's just, you know, stuff that I'm not supposed to get in. You're not supposed to talk. You know, I had to, yeah, exactly, I had to keep, you know, kind of like arm's length, you know, like correct, like correct. Like be polite with them, but
yes,
like,
yes.
but
the
not
thing.
Like get
so
in
that's the thing. It doesn't mean that we cut them off or look them down or condemn them or, you know, kind of degrade them, but we have to maintain kind of a distance,
mm-hmm,
be careful,
yeah.
at the same time have some loving kindness also,
yeah. Yeah, I just tried to remember, like, when I spoke to, like, you know, my parents, like, a lot of the time, I think mainly, and, you know, the people that I saw, you know, the lay people that I saw, it just took, I think mainly I tried to just keep the conversations that I had about Dhamma, mm-hmm. you know, like things related to Dhamma.
Correct.
And, you know, like, I was, like, talking about how I had, you know, some people that you know, I know in Colombo, I was they had invited me for lunch at their home. I turned it down, but I was explaining, like, you know, with them the Mahakasapa Samyutta from the Samyutta Nikaya, where he was talking to the Buddha. The Buddha was like saying, "Come take invitations," and he was like, "No, I want to stay out in the forest and I want to collect alms food." And I was referring to that sutta, like, you know, I want to stick to the traditional monk's ways and stuff like that. So when I was interacting with these people, my parents and, you know, these people, these other lay people, you know, I was just mainly, I think I just tried to keep the conversation, the words out of my mouth related to Dhamma, mostly just related to Dhamma.
Correct.
And, you know, not get too, like, you know, not get involved in, you know, the worldly concerns or
exactly.
the worldly kind of things they had going on. So,
correct.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. That's why, I mean, even now, if you refer, when the Yogasrama Sanstha is built, you know, Most Venerable Jnanarama Mahathero and the Kaduvaddin Jinavansa Mahathero. And they don't want to continue the typical traditional temple stuff. Say, typical traditional temple monks, what they do is they simply preach. They participate in various dana ceremonies at their houses, you know, the people's houses. And various other ceremonies, when they are pass away, we have to participate and do the chanting. And when a new baby is born, we have to go and chanting. New harvest, we have to go and chanting. New house opening, go and chanting. Die again, go and chanting. They attend again, go and chanting. Something problem, someone becomes sick, okay, we go and chanting. So, I mean, that is the tradition. So that was the temple monk's duty very much like. And that is what people are expecting. So that is why they are, you know, establishing a temple and asking few monks to come there, because they have so many needs. So they are like servants. Monks have become servants of the lay people. So they are giving orders. Okay, you come today to my house. We are going to offer dana. You come to, you give a blessing to my newborn baby. You give a blessing to whatever the ceremony, my father passed away. So all the different requests are coming to the temple. So now temple monks are bound to fulfill those requests. So Jnanarama Banthe and Kadavadvaya Jinavansa Banthe understood, so this is not going to work. So what's happened to the monk? Do he have his time for spiritual growth? So they are like servants. They are doing a kind of a job, no? Kind of a profession, no? So they completely rejected that system. So they started a forest tradition. I mean, if you want, we are going for village Pindapatha. So you can offer something. Don't come and ask anything. I have my own business to do. I want to meditate. That's all. Don't disturb me. So that's the very much what they have started. So that's the essence in a way. That's the motivation. So there is no point of preaching Dhamma to these lay people. So actually that is the incident happened, you know, during one occasion. Now we are going ahead the, you know, Vesak ceremony. Very interesting. So during one Vesak ceremony, Jinavansa Mahathero got a request to deliver Dhamma sermon in a particular temple. You know, now it's a, so he's going there. Typically the Dhamma sermon happens at night, say 7 to 8, 8 to 9, something like that. Assume that it was 8 to 9. So he all the way went, maybe, you know, there is no lot of facilities during that time, no? Probably he might have walked, or he might have gone through the public bus, and with a lot of effort he approached the temple. And now he is going to preach the Dhamma. Who is there to listen to Dhamma? So very old few ladies and only other few old men. That's all. Only 5-6 people. So this monk coming from all the way to this temple to deliver a Dhamma sermon for 1 hour for 6-7 people. So what has happened to the others? They all gone to the city to see the Thorana, you know, pandals. So lights and carnivals and blah blah, all the sounds, ceremonies. So they, all the people who are young and who can walk, they all go on out to see the ceremonies. The people who can't walk, so they only stay in the temple to listen to Dhamma sermon. And they are also, you know, nodding. They can't listen. They are also nodding. So he got pissed off in my terms by seeing it. I mean, what's the point? What's the purpose of spending time for these villages? So he decided, no point, useless. It's no point of preaching Dhamma to these lay people. It's better to mind our own business. We have become monks to attain Nibbana. So let's start a tradition so the monks are concerned about that goal, not about these others' affairs, not about the lay people's affairs. Let us concern about what Buddha has asked from us. See, when you are becoming a monk, so sabba dukkha nissarana nibbana sacchikaranatthaya. That's the term. Sabba dukkha nissarana nibbana sacchikaranatthaya. So to free from all the suffering and to realize the nibbana. So that is why I am becoming a monk. So that is what the kind of vow. So we forget that and we do all services to the lay people and that becomes our life. So that's not going to work. So that is how they started the Yogasana Sanstha. With a very, you know, very basic frugal kind of facilities, just kind of huts and, you know, in the forest, going on village Pindapatha. And there were many oppression coming from many different, objections coming from many different parties, but slowly, slowly it fulfilled, flourished, and ultimately it becomes a huge organization. Now around, I think, 300 monasteries are there. But the bad thing, unfortunate things, is now forest monasteries are trying to become temples. Temples. Yeah. Ceremonies and, you know, participating in people's houses and then spirit chanting and all things. So what the two pioneers rejected, now the other juniors are now slowly, slowly coming to that.
Oh, Sarai Swaminansa, thank you. And I also wanted to say that, you know, when, you know, me, I was staying at this study temple in Colombo for one evening. It's called Vajirarama. And there was a seminarer there who, another seminarer from Ukraine. He was Ukrainian. He was there, and we went for Pindapada in the morning. We went outside the temple for Pindapada in that area surrounding the temple. And we had people, they were trying to like offer money and stuff. And we refused it. You know, we refused all the offerings of money, but, you know, it was interesting, you know, like we're getting food too, but it's like monks are not supposed to handle money and stuff, you know? And, you know, we're not supposed to be like wealthy or anything like that. So, we got more than enough food, but it was, you know, just interesting. You know, the lay people are giving money, and it's, I mean, you know, they don't know, I'm sure they don't like really, really know, but it's like, you know, monks are not supposed to handle money, and, you know, so like that's...
No, the thing is, other monks may be accepting, no?
Right, in that area. I mean, it's the middle of Colombo.
That is exactly Kuladusana. You know, now the typical norm has become complete opposite thing.
Yeah.
Then how are we going to correct it?
Yeah.
So when someone else is going, a proper monk is going, so the people think, so he's a useless person. Hmm. I mean, we can't accept you, we can't allow you to stay in our temple.
Yeah.
You are not doing what we want. You are not a good monk.
Yeah.
So the way of thinking has completely changed.
Yeah.
So that is the Kuladusana.
Yeah, so
that's what happened in that particular Sikkhapada, in that precept.
Hmm.
So in, I can't remember, in the Goshitarama or somewhere, so some monks are staying and they are, you know, doing various transactions with the people, and they are become very popular and they are become part of their family like thing. And then another monk going from, you know, he want to be, you know, not maintaining any kind of such relationship. He simply collect food and then he mind his own business. And people start sort of condemning him. But there was one, you know, intelligent guy in that village. He understood what has happened. And he reported to Buddha, I think. Buddha or Venerable Sariputta, someone who he reported. Then Buddha established this precept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, yeah. You know, we got more than enough food, like too much. We had to give like a bunch of the food that we got to the kitchen at the temple. Because we got just so much food. So it's like, you know, we already have like enough, like we have like enough food, like transportation hasn't been an issue for me here in Sri Lanka. You know, like health hasn't been an issue for me, like the healthcare, you know, hasn't been an issue for me. Like, you know, and Gilanpasa, like we have more than enough Gilanpasa. Like, you know, my Dayakas in Colombo, they gave me some tea, some black tea. You know, it's like, you know, we have more than enough. It's like we don't need more like stuff, like money. We don't need like wealth or anything like that. We're already getting like too much stuff, like food and stuff. It's like the last thing we need is more money. And, you know, these people, you know, some of these people are poor, I'm sure, you know, giving away their money instead. Mm. They keep it, you know, it's, we don't need it, you know. Yeah, so
that's the thing. We have to, in a way, we have to teach them we don't need it. We have everything else, so you don't need, you'll keep it to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I mean, we have to handle things properly, properly in the sense we can't immediately blame, we'll say, temple monks and ask them to leave. That's also not possible. And we can't ask people, okay, we are not doing anything, don't come and ask me. So that is also something we have to balance. we have to slowly educate them, okay, there is something, so there is, this is our schedule, this is our monastery rules, so we can't go beyond that, I can't come to your house, so then I am going against the rules. So likewise, we have to, you know, diplomatically have to handle the situation. So as you said, when someone is asking to come and get, say, dana at my house, so how are we going to politely refuse it? So that is also something we need to do. So we can't simply accept and you go and this thing. Then it is kind of outside the monastery rules. So we are not supposed to do it. We are, as much as possible, nissarnavane, we are trying to keep that rule. We are not participating any kind of, you know, dana ceremonies outside other places. And say we are not going to, you know, funerals and paritta chanting. And even not doing any katina ceremonies. So as much as possible, avoiding all that. So that monks may have some time for their practice. So that tradition has to be protected. So I mean, either Bante Dhammaji, it is not my response. I mean, we are trying our best. But the young monks, the other people who are coming in should understand that tradition. So I mean, that is established for a purpose. It's not that we don't like it. I mean, we can, now we have so much of relationships. People are always asking, please come Bante, please come Bante, please take that. Everything is there. They are offering. But we have to diplomatically refuse it. Diplomatically say, no, please understand. So don't misunderstand. So this is the monastery rule. If they know, I mean, they will punish me. Or rather, something we can tell, no? So actually, when I was there in Newcastle, so the organizers have actually arranged a separate place for me to stay. So they arranged that. That's a separate apartment. So I'm quite happy because no one is there, just me. And in the morning they get together and offer me in the morning breakfast. And the lunch also same thing. At the retreat center they arrange that. That's all. But apart from that, another organizer, at the end of the retreat, now he is asking me to come to his house for his house dana. So now I was thinking, now it is included in the schedule. So at the end of the retreat, I am going to the organizer's house and taking dana there. Next day I have to travel. So okay, our things are there. So later, once things are going well, then I slowly put the message, better you take as usual to the apartment. I'm not supposed to come to the house, so it is against the monastery rules. So then diplomatically handled, then they understood. So they understood, I mean, we have to handle it properly. So, I mean, that is where, when we are coming from a monastery, where kind of an accepted norm is there, so please don't go to houses, then we can use that term, no? It is not me establishing that, it is coming from the Jnanarama Bante. Is coming from the Bante Dhammajiva. So I am, so please don't blame me. So they are the ones responsible. So they are the pioneers, they are the great teachers, preceptors. So I am just a young monk. So please excuse me, I can't do it. Then people will understand. So they are not going against me. They will understand, yes, Bante, I really respect that. So they really appreciate that then. They have more faith then I go in there and I become a, you know, kind of a fellow family member type of monk. So when I am refusing it, and please understand, we have a kind of a monastery rule, we are not supposed to go to any house, so please understand, but we really respect that rule, then they more faithfully come and offer. So that's the thing. So we have to, you know, handle it properly. So even now, say in here, so we are not allowing women to come before say 12 noon, we are not allowing any women to come here. After 1:30, we are not allowing them to be here. So likewise, some strict rules are there. So as much as we are maintaining that, we are protected. But the moment we lose them, you know, we allow everybody to come and play and, you know, partying and all bullshit, and then we are also going to this and that, gone. Monastery will become a temple. That's it. Yeah,
we got stopped. We were in Kandy, and a police officer stopped, you know, the car. And the police stopped the car, and they were like checking for his license and all. So he must have, like, I think he committed some violation, like some traffic violation. But they let us go because I was in the car, because I was the monk. So he's, you know, so they let us go because, you know, obviously they were Buddhists, you know, and they have faith in the monks. So he was like, I remember him saying that, you know, the driver, he was saying, yeah, you know, they understand that, like, you know, monk, being a monk is a hard life, you know, so they have faith and they don't, like, you know, so
trouble him,
right? Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, they have faith in the monks because, you know, he's saying, you know, they know that being a monk is a hard life. So, you know, but if we, you know, it's important to point out that, like, if we start, you know, doing things like taking money from people or handling money, or we start, you know, accepting these nice, like, lunch invitations at people's homes, you know, for Dana and stuff, like, then we're starting to, you know, it's not as hard anymore. It's not as, you know, difficult. You know, we got all this fancy food. We got all, you know, this money to buy what we want.
Exactly.
You know, we have all these nice gifts from people, donations and stuff like that. It's so.
Now we also have many things.
So you know, like, essentially, you know, what can end up happening is we can start to become like lay people.
Exactly.
You know?
So that's the thing. So as monks, we need to understand that difference. So what are the samana qualities? Now here Buddha highlights certain samana qualities. No, the qualities of a recluse, qualities of a monk. So we are not meditating lay people. So I mean, meditating lay people are also there. So they are also practicing Dhamma. But here, being a monk, so we have to have something additional. So we need to remember that we can't be meditating lay people. We are monks. So we have to give some kind of an example. Say, so as you correctly mentioned, so if I am becoming, I am forgetting all about monk's rules, sila and all these things, and I am becoming a meditating lay person and giving instructions, then what's the purpose? I better withdraw. So why am I representing a monk's role? So a monk role and the typical lay person has to be quite different. So that slowly we need to understand that. So what are the samana qualities that we need to inculcate? So what am I representing? So like you said, say the precepts like not using money, say not eating afternoon, and say, so these are the very basic things at least we need to maintain, and have some equanimous attitude to everyone. So there is no huge intimate relationship with anyone, but common to everyone. Everyone can approach. So, and you know, just maintaining the enough, only a kind of frugal kind of lifestyle, not having so many things. Say in your kuti, if you have so much of things, so much of requisites filled with the kuti, then you don't have a lighter life. You know, I mean, when we are going somewhere, if we have some only very essential things to carry, I don't need to worry about what is going on in my kuti and how things are, you know, degrade and destroy and everything. Then I'm good. I mean, I don't want to worry. So I can simply leave. That's what Buddha expected. So that kind of samana qualities we need to understand. So what are the differences between a layperson and a monk? So that has to be very well understood, so that we have to represent also, that we have to live. And it has a purpose. It has a purpose. The thing is, now if you can remember, so one simile Buddha giving, the difference between a layperson and a monk is that he say layperson is like a peacock. This monk is like a swan. Why? You know, swan can fly a long distance without any trouble. He only has the little, you know, whatever the necessary, what's that called? Wings, that's all. Peacock is extremely beautiful but can't fly long. Dance and, you know, show off and, you know, fly only a little distance, that's all. Only very little distance. But the monk's life is completely different from that. He doesn't have many things. He has only the essential things. Say maybe three ropes and the ball. Other than that, only the essential things, and that's it. And you can go wherever you like. You have any, don't have any much of attachment. So that is the kind of life that Buddha is asking. So there is a simile, like say a group of deers. So they are going from one forest to another forest. There is no any kind of attachment to any particular dwelling place, thinking, okay, I have left that thing, I have left this thing. So these are the things. So I mean, as we become older, as we become established in a particular monastery, so we are becoming different. Now I'm here for about 10 years almost, like. So now certain attachments are there, responsibilities are there. So I'm somewhat hooked up here now. So, you know, but that can become a burden to me. I may feel heavy then. My mind feel heavy. Because I can't go freely. I mean, everyone is asking, where are you, Bhante? I mean, what's happened to this program? What happened to that program? So it can become a burden. If I can handle things, fine. I mean, as a response, you know, it doesn't mean that we forget everything and take only the whatever necessary from the monastery and then forget it, leave it aside, and then I mind my own business, and that is also not the correct thing. That is the other extreme. Say you don't want to take any responsibility, you don't want to help any other person, you are not taking care of any other young monks or teaching or anything because you have your own goal, so don't disturb me. So that is the other extreme, isn't it? So you are, in a way, that is very selfish. And previously we have to be selfish in the sense that till we are growing. So then it's a matter of we need to put it to a trouble and see how resilient I am. You know, I mean, when all the problems are coming to me, when all the responsibilities are available to me, am I able to handle it while maintaining a dispassionate mind, while maintaining a relaxed mind? So that is a skill that I need to develop. So it won't happen while I'm simply alone. So that is also something that we need to put it and see whether am I capable of doing it or I'm not capable. I am confusing everything, or I am, you know, others, I can't do it properly. So that is something that I need to try and see. If I can, then it's well and do. I need to know the limit in a way. I need to maintain a kind of a balance. If can't, better take a break. Okay, Bhante, I need some break. So please ask someone else to do. I have a little bit of, you know, I need a balance. I need a break. Fine. Otherwise, if you are capable and if you can maintain a balance, better contribute also. Because in the, you know, like in the Ajahn Chah tradition, so they really promote both. So time to time going your own, and most of the time being in a monastery, being in as a group, as a sangha. So that is also very necessary, because while in a group only we get all the problems. Because many others are there, many duties are there. Is it right now? Many duties are there. So likewise, so many things are there. So there are enough problems while in a group, while in a team. But you alone, maybe less problems. But being in a group is challenging, but that is what emphasized. So that's why the first 5 years, you have to be in a group, be within the community. The community life, we need to learn. So then probably you can try going your own and see a little bit, explore yourself, again come back, again establish. So likewise, it's a kind of a, you know, both sides like.
When you practice the sitting meditation and walking meditation,
yeah.
So you develop yourself and you look into yourself, and it become a game or an exercise when you deal with people. So you can see yourself, how much you attach and how much you reject things.
Again, and how much you can now say you practice. So after practice, assume that you engage with some activity. You can detect, because of this engagement, is there any kind of harm happened to your practice? You know, previously, now that is why we are asking you to be very quiet. Be silent as much as possible. Don't go and talk with people. You know, assume that you are in a retreat. So we are not allowing people to talk. Why? The talking will, deteriorate their whatever the samadhi, the collectedness of the mind, because this talking is a real distraction. But later, so the person has to have a kind of a capacity to retain that calmness. Even though he involved with a lot of activities, if he can retain that calmness, you know. So that is the maturity in a way. So that is where he has his own time also to develop. At the same time, he involved with others as well, but he know the limit, and he without, you know, getting entangled, lotus leaf like thing, yeah, without getting entangled, without getting confused, without getting destroyed by himself, so he know how to maintain it. Really challenging in a way, very challenging. It takes time. Definitely takes time. definitely takes time. Even though you experience something, it doesn't guarantee that you have that capacity. It's a kind of a seasoning kind of thing. slowly, I mean, that's why in the typical tradition, so as Bhante Dhammajiva highlights, now the first 5 years, so you are being in a teacher within a group, you are very protected, you are not going to village, you are not participating with external activities, you are not dealing with the lay people. So you are very much like a protected young child. Say after 5 years, with an inspection of another person, another elder monk, you do some limited activities. Some activities are there, you are going for preaching something, maybe within the community, and time to time certain assignments you do, but under the inspection, under the supervision. After 10 years only, you are given a kind of a complete responsibility like. So something like that. So that is very safe. The problem is nowadays monks are very, eager to do things immediately. So they are not taking enough time. As young monks, so we need some time to grow, no? So we need to learn first ourselves rather than teach others. But no point of immediately just after putting the robe I go and preach and this and that and all these things. Exactly. So that Buddha mentioned in the Sallega Sutta. So if you are being in the mud, taking another person out is not going to happen. At least you need to take your head out and see, oh, there's something out. You are not an arahant, but you know at least something is available outside. Heart rip, exactly.
Bhante, I think nowadays, there are some monks, who, once they put on the robes or something, there are some monks, I think, nowadays who are very eager to be teachers. And maybe travel different places and stuff, and they don't take time to be settled, but reflecting on my trip this week when I was office, traveling can be very hectic. Definitely. It's like traveling on this bus with loud music. It was yesterday from Kandy to Kirin Dwella. And it was just like loud music and baby crying and stuff like that. And, if you're like flying on airplanes, going through airports, it's just like,
they are playing, instead of that, they are playing all the movies. And so I have just to wait in front of me, next to me, maybe sometimes women, sometimes kids, sometimes men. They are, taking wine, beers, and drinking whiskey, all the movies, killing, sex, and all these things. Mm. Okay, let me feel.
If you were to ordain and just be settled for a little while, it's just being settled, I think, is just like I can't see myself traveling here and there, even if I was a more senior monk, I think if I traveled, I would just want to walk there on foot. I don't want to get on these planes and buses and just noise and hecticness everywhere and say. So yeah, but I think some monks, they're eager to be teachers and have students and fame and then
that's the thing. We need to wait actually till the things happen. We need to wait.
Yeah.
Just to go, myself now you might see me as a teacher, but I was not a teacher about say few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So basically now after ordaining, now thing is I ordained in the age of 36.
36.
Not a young monk, no.
Oh.
Then, young in the sense from the age.
Mm-hmm.
I just, only at 36 I ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And at now in I didn't do anything other than my meditating thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get involved anything. I didn't even my friends never come to see me. I don't have any relationships. I didn't use a phone. I didn't use a tab. Nothing was there. For 6 years, the Bhante Arinanda, so the teacher, he understood certain skill, so time to time he, that is his thing, no, it's not my thing, it's not my initiative. In the fourth cluster, I was asked to go to Malaysia to conduct the something retreat. So I went there, and that's also asked me to go with a senior monk. I was at that time just 4 vassa. I went with a 14 vassa monk.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a two monks, so young monk and that another vassa. So something. And that is also only for 3 months assignment. Then again coming back, again being in the monastery.
Yeah.
So after 6 years, then it's typically allowed. 5 years it's typically allowed. So I am also getting mature and so something like that. Then went to Burma with Bante Dhammajiva. And here group. Mm. Not alone. I mean, I visited here, get his assistance and this monks. Then I went to Burma. Again came with them. Again being here. So Bante Dhammaji was conducting retreat, so I am just at my kuti. There's no conducting of retreats, no saying Dhamma sermons, nothing was there. So only in 2016 only I was asked to do participate in the retreat, because at that time Bante Dhammaji was going abroad, so nobody is conducting. So there also I refused. I can't preach Dhamma sermons. I'll just do the Kamatan Suddhagiri, just interviews I'll do. So only at about 5 p.m. I go there, I just do the interview and again come back. That's all, no preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Then only after another 2 years maybe, start the completing the full retreat. So I feel kind of a very very safe way I have handled. Because otherwise, I need to feel kind of confident. And then only we can, confidently tell something. Rather than imagine and telling something and thinking and telling something and referring a book and telling something. So you need to have some your own confidence coming through the practice and living the Dhamma. Then you are confident.
I also wanted to say that it's important to, if you like teach, it's important to teach when you're invited to teach.
Exactly.
So
that's the thing.
I think some monks nowadays, I've seen monks, and it appears that they are want to be maybe famous, or they want to have students and stuff. I'm not trying to criticize these monks per se, but teaching is like a duty. It's like a responsibility. So if somebody asks you to teach, it's I'll teach because they've asked me. Oh, we're requesting you to give this Dhamma talk or something. But if it's you're searching for fame and students and maybe a social media following and stuff like that, can hinder your practice, certainly. Yeah.
No, that's the thing. I mean, we as human beings have an inner desire to become popular.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has that as a kind of an inner urge. So I want to become famous. I want to become popular. Let me have many followers. So that is
monk
that.
Become a monk star.
Monk star. So likewise, a new star. so I mean, whenever they are in a particular their area, so they want to highlight themselves in that particular profession, isn't it? I mean, in the monkhood, they want to highlight themselves. Maybe in a lay person, as a lay person, if they are in a particular profession, they want to highlight themselves. So that is an inner urge we have, everyone. So how are we going to handle it without destroying ourselves and without giving a wrong interpretation or wrong model example to the others?
Yeah,
that is something we need to be careful.
Yeah,
the thing is, now say many people are in trust of you. Assume that many people are in trust of you and you become a monk star. And all of a sudden say you disrobe. What happened to the people? So they were believing in you, they were trusting you, they were learning Dhamma from you, and you do the complete opposite thing. And what happened to the followers? That's a problem.
Yeah.
Isn't it? So then it is not a normal monk who is, doing the typical mistake, but a popular monk doing it, a teacher doing it. So it becomes a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it's become a huge responsibility. So am I able to maintain that life? So what are they expecting? So because sometimes people are expecting some extraordinary things. So you have to behave like a, arahant. So that is also not possible, no? Now, assume that you are not an arahant. I am also not an arahant. So am I trying to show off like an arahant? Then I am cheating, isn't it?
Well, Bante, I wanted to point out, there's this, I'm not going to say his name or anything, there's this monk, I know he's American, but he's quite famous now, and he has like a big following, and I've met him in person, you know, on more than one occasion. And recently I was reading on I think it was Reddit, that he was like, as a layperson, he was like boasting about like superior meditative attainments, you know, more or less like it's called Discord.
Discord
is like an app. I can't explain it fully to you. It's like an app, and I think you can like have like groups on there, like chat rooms. And he was like, when he was like a lay, I was reading on Reddit, I think it was Reddit, that when he was a lay person, he was like bragging about like superior like meditative attainments on Discord, and like, you know, trying to like sell his services as a teacher and stuff like that. And he's now really famous as a monk. He's now a monk, and he's quite famous, and he has a big following. But, you know, it's like, you know, that's, you know, the, you know, it, being a monk, you know, being a teacher of Dhamma is a big responsibility. Because you have to teach the...
And again, the other thing is, Buddha categorically mentioned not to show whatever the spiritual attainments.
Yeah.
So that is something that we need to be careful. I mean, these, whatever the attainments, whatever the spiritual accomplishments, are not there for selling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a kind of...
We're not trying to be famous. Yeah, we're not trying to be like famous. And,
yeah, no, and, I mean, the point is now, I mean, people may understand when we are talking, referring certain suttas and how we are interpreting it, how we are, you know, explaining it. That's a different story. I mean, that is the understanding. And there's no other way of, you know, telling it.
Yeah.
But highlighting, okay, I'm a Sotapanna, I'm an Arahant. So that is in a way, I mean, how are we going to tell that?
So,
when we are explaining Dhamma, the understanding come to, as you said, I mean, they also have some intellect to know what this guy is speaking,
yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, that they also have to practice, then only they can connect. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, whatever we are talking, like nonsense.
Yeah.
So when we are talking about unestablished consciousness and blah, blah, they mean, what the bullshit they are talking. I'm just finding meaningful to my young child, so they are talking about this thing. So no point. I mean, they also have to, in a kind of a layer in that frequency, then only they can connect.
Yeah.
So that's a different thing. But we telling, okay, I'm so and so, I'm so and so, I have accomplished this, I'm... That is not, I mean, that's complete unnecessary. And Buddha didn't ask not to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're doing something like that, you know, like there's another American monk, he's quite famous. I won't mention his name, but he's like bragging about his students, like having attained this state or that state, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, it's like you're trying to sell yourself and like, you know, get followers and get fame. And that's, you know, that's the complete opposite of the path that the Buddha taught. You know, as monks, we're trying to give up fame. We're trying to give up, you know, worldly life, like fame.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, the thing is, now, you know, U.S. and all these, most of the Western countries, they are going for, you know, commodity-like thing, no? They are the way of thinking and the way the whole society, the economy and everything is, build up like. Kind of commoditization. I don't know.
Commercialization.
Commercialization.
Yeah.
And, you know, this marketing, materialism, and all these things.
Business, so, yeah.
Business mind.
Yeah.
So for them to have kind of, you know, having a very innocent, inward kind of path would be very difficult.
Yeah.
That is another way.
And now people are like, you know, it's so easy to get famous on social media now. I think people are attracted by that too, even monks.
Right. Yes,
you know,
yes,
wanting
yes.
to be famous on, you know, social media, on YouTube, have like, you know, students have fame, following, you know, all that stuff. So, but, you know, it's important to point out that that's the exact opposite of what the Buddha taught. We're trying to give up fame. We're trying to give up wealth. We're trying to give up. We're trying to renounce these things that you see in worldly life. We're trying to renounce
Correct.
These things.
Now, there's another side also. Now, that's very beautifully mentioned by Jnanaram Mahathera. Now, if you are a successful monk, one day you have to cross that pit of mud of the popularity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is also, I mean, it will come to you. It's not that you are searching for that, but you have to cross that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could still be famous even if you're not trying to be.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the point is
he
to
has
not
to handle
desire.
It. That's right. It is monk's responsibility that he has to handle that. It's not that you are completely getting away and refusing everything and, you know, be afraid of that. If it is coming to you, say you are taking a little bit of responsibility and doing it, now as a result of that, you also become popular. How are you crossing that popularity without destroying yourself? How are you taking care of it? That's the point.
As long as sometimes you could be famous and you know, it just happens. But I think, you know, as long as a monk is not like desiring that fame, they're not like greedy for it.
That's what I know. Many, you know, American monks also, they are maintaining their, you know, their seniority, their understanding, their way of talking, but they never say that they attained anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just giving a name, for example, Ajahn Sumedho. Mm-hmm. Now, he is the very, very first disciple of the Western disciple of Ajahn Chah. He talks really beautifully about the Dhamma, but never say I'm an Arahant, or I'm so and so, and nothing is there. No self-marketing, but talking about the Dhamma. Isn't it? Now, many, you know, the proper monks, so they talk about the Dhamma, which is not their Dhamma, nor is the Buddha's teaching. So we are referring to Buddha's Sutta, whatever the available in the canon. So we are, as much as we can, we explain it, that's all. It is not my Dhamma. It is Buddha's teaching, isn't it? So that's why we are keeping a Sutta as the title of a discussion, and we are trying to explain as much as possible as a group. We are trying to understand it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it is not that as a person I am trying to highlight or something like that. So rather than telling I attain or I did this thing, blah, blah, blah. So that's the way of doing it. So there are many, many monks doing that properly also.
I think nowadays, you know, like, you know, with the social media and the,
that's,
you know,
the thing,
YouTube and stuff, I think like some of the younger, younger monks are like getting too warped up in that stuff, and they're getting like kind of like hypnotized by the by fame and like having students and being a famous teacher and whatnot. So
anyway, what to do? Be careful. Okay, I think we have spent enough time, so we'll end up the session. Thank you very much for participation. So anybody would like to share the merits, please?
We'll share the merits with all beings, and we can recite the traditional verses. Itta bhata cha om hehi sambhatang punya sambhatang.